Hello, today is Wednesday and it is the 22nd of May. And I think it's Memorial Day this weekend.
That will be Monday.
Oh, yeah, whatever. Memorial Day weekend.
What's your plans, Chris? Are you going camping?
No, you don't go camping on Memorial Day weekend.
Oh, of course.
Well, it's because it's packed.
What am I
Like, you're
thinking?
not going to be able to find a spot.
You might get stabbed.
You might if you're on the Appalachian Trail.
Remember when phone companies were selling our location data to bounty hunters and basically anybody else who wanted to pay for it? Well, Ajit Pai said he was going to step in, champion of the people that he is, and he was going to put a stop to it. And maybe he has if you trust the phone companies, because they're the ones that are saying it.
Phone companies say they've mostly stopped selling your location data to shady middlemen. Dot dot dot. Narrator, they hadn't.
Not even mostly, not even
Yeah.
a little.
We just have to go on their word, which they're phone companies, so they are absolutely unassailable in their truthfulness, right?
Now, this is actually what the second or third time that they have said they've stopped selling location data.
But for serious this time. The exception, when they say mostly, the exception is they will still sell it to emergency, like OnStar, like those kinds of services.
So can OnStar resell that then as another revenue stream?
They probably do.
Hey, look, whatever OnStar does with your real-time location data at all times, we got no control of that. We just get a cut.
Yeah,
It
well,
really works out for everybody except for you.
they probably had to raise the price for OnStar to make up for all the bounty hunting services that they lost, because you can't lose that revenue,
Meanwhile, Google is laughing in GPS coordinates of
right?
every Android phone on planet Earth.
Verizon. Remember when 5G was in Chicago and they tested it and it worked like two city blocks and you had to be basically lying prone on top of the little micro tower thing? Well, they say it's getting better.
Verizon's 5G network is now hitting gigabit download speeds when you're laying prone on top of
Good
the
news for those two blocks.
transmitter. Yeah, so there's this entire article is just screenshots of mind-blowing wireless speeds.
They mentioned video downloads, so there was like Iron Man in 90 seconds.
You can destroy your entire month's data cap in 90 seconds.
Woohoo!
And an episode of The Office in 8 seconds. Although, watching it in real time, if you're streaming it, is that a huge advantage?
Well, you can go through your data cap immediately. Like, you could download that episode 2 or 3 times just to make sure that you go over your data
But
cap.
then they also have the issue of phone storage.
Yeah, you don't bother storing it on the phone. You have to download it over and over again so that you run out of your cap faster.
Okay.
That's a business. That's part of the
It's
business
more
plan.
efficient. It's
That's good
better.
news
It's
for
better.
Verizon shareholders, right? Hewlett Packard Enterprise, which is technically a different company than Hewlett Packard, has decided to go hard in supercomputing.
Hewlett Packard Enterprise is going to acquire Cray for $1.3 billion.
That's Cray.
That's an
Z.
unfortunate name that maybe didn't age well, but
No,
it's
well,
cray
no,
cray.
that pre-existed
I know, but yeah.
Kanye.
Did Kanye come up with cray?
I don't know. He
Cray cray?
popularized it,
I
I
think,
think.
yeah. That's a popular slang term for crazy, in case you're living under a rock.
Crazy fast, maybe.
I really wonder if. So there's this project at Oak Ridge that's, the Cray thing. HP's going to supply the hardware. I really wonder if like Cray got the bid and then they just went to HP and were like, "You want to buy us? Because this is going to cost a lot of money." And HP was like, "Okay, sounds good."
1 point something billion.
Yeah,
So,
1.3, yeah.
quite a lot of dollars. See if that works out for him. This is an amazing story. So, we don't realize that hearing our brains are actually selective about focusing in on what we're trying to hear. Like, somehow, our brains are like they have this power to filter out other things. Like, we have active noise canceling almost
Like the
in our
terrible air
brains.
conditioning sound that.
We just don't even hear it.
Yeah, just tune it out.
Meanwhile, you guys are like, "Oh, nails on a
Now, it hurts.
chalkboard. Oh."
That explains why horrible parents, when they're in public and their kids are just screeching at the table next to me, they don't care because they can do that.
They don't seem to hear anything,
But
and I wonder what's wrong.
I can't stop it. And it turns out it's real bad news if you have hearing impairment, because hearing aids don't account for that until now.
Scientists have created mind-controlled hearing aids. So these hearing aids are actually able to focus on and emphasize one particular voice or another voice, which I thought was mind-blowing. Like, I looked at the demos for all the stuff that they say these are going to be able to do just by you thinking about what you want to hear. It's astonishing. It's an incredible invention.
Look at this statuesque older lady. I bet she's like the best hearing aid model in the world.
She has
Unfortunately,
beautiful ears.
this seems to be like more than a year away from market.
I didn't get how they interfaced with the brain here, though. Do you have to have
You have to have a matrix
an
hole back of your
electrode?
neck.
I don't remember them really saying other than you just think about it.
Compares the audio of each speaker to the brain waves of the person wearing the hearing aid. Yeah, how? How do you read the brain waves?
From behind the ear?
I guess.
I hope we don't hear about this in a year and find out it was a scam, because it is actually a really cool piece of
It
tech.
is, yeah, it's very cool. And probably would have uses beyond hearing loss. There'd be other cool things we could do with this.
Well, it's good news for
Maybe,
us when we get old.
yeah, and maybe tuning out those children at restaurants. If you'd use it for that'd be great.
How cool would it be to have an AI assistant that's like, oh, let me surround you with a noise-canceling bubble?
We could go to Cracker Barrel in peace. The Cracker
I
Barrel is so loud.
No technology could overcome that level of noise.
It's so noisy in
How
there.
about we reverse the technology so that it amplifies the cries of the child and the parents have to wear headsets while they eat? And so it's just like, just mind-rending shrieks whenever that child makes noise.
Oh, that would be cool. I'm imagining a society where everybody has these, communication devices, but they don't directly communicate thoughts. But if you are in a restaurant and everybody is wearing these transceivers, and a lot of people in the restaurant are uncomfortable because your kid is making a lot of noise, you would receive a small corrective electric shock.
I'm sure Google wouldn't run that and use it for nefarious purposes.
It's like, oh, I got a little. I'm doing something that is. I've broken the social contract in some way. I'm getting a small electric shock. What have I done?
See, I thought you were gonna like run with that and say like you wanted something like that for yourself, and like because sometimes you don't know if
Wait,
something.
it would be helpful. I mean,
Yeah.
I sometimes don't pick up on social cues.
I fantasize about something like that for driving, right? So, like, if you're in a multiple lane highway and you're at the far left
And you're
and
going 60 miles an hour.
there's somebody up in front there and there's nothing but daylight in front of them and a giant row of cars behind them, I want that person to suffer in some way. Some sort of peer-to-peer, like you just kick it forward. Like every car has a device and like it comes on, it's like, are you the asshole? Nope, it's not me. You flip a switch and then when it gets to that person, they flip their switch, but there's no car in front of them to catch it. So they're the asshole.
Let's take everybody's
I would love
abuse.
to build that system.
Tesla has the technology. We could go to work for
I'm
Tesla
not
in
working for
programming.
Musk. No, I'm not doing it. If you buy tickets, there is a problem with tickets because these days digital photography is really good. And printers, also really good. High DPI. You can just print copies of those tickets. And that causes problems. Ticketmaster has the solution.
Ticketmaster puts an end to screenshots with the new digital ticket technology. So basically, this is an app. They've got an app that knows your phone, cryptographically knows your phone, and also the ticket changes every couple of minutes or every 30 seconds or whatever. So
The
this,
barcode changes, right?
yeah, so if somebody takes a picture of your phone, even if they print it and use it somewhere else, it's not good by the time they've printed it.
And a lot of people apparently like to transfer tickets to their friends just by sending them the tickets. But this would not work in that scenario. You would have to actually go through the transfer process, which tells Ticketmaster who the new person is and their contact details, which goes into their database, which they resell for profit.
Really, just it's great for everybody.
They also mentioned that at first, and you can imagine this is true. Imagine like old school country music performances where the audience is old and they're trying to get in with these phone tickets. It's like, I don't know, my thumb ain't reading. Yeah, that's going to be a nightmare.
You help me, young man?
I wonder if this would stop scalpers. Like, would this legit fix scalping?
Well, it does also track the resale. So if you were reselling a million tickets,
They'd probably frown upon that.
yeah, but you'd have to use those, like the where they do the phone banks when they game
the... there's a bunch of phones on a wall in China somewhere.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. So they get around it, but it's going to cause them some headaches. So maybe that's a good thing. The Epic Game Store. Wow. People hate the Epic Game
Store. They're really salty about it. I see posts about it.
They hate it. And just, it's the vitriol is so real. And I understand. I mean, there's some good arguments against it. But the hate maybe just is more than that is needed. Anyway, they're having a sale. And it's causing a lot of reaction.
Epic discounts its entire game store library and store-wide mega sales. Some things are, like 50% off. And Leak also suggests a $10 incentive for a two-factor security sign-up because the security on the Epic store has been terrible to, even worse than terrible. There were a bunch of games that were delisted from the Epic store ahead of the sale. So, if you pre-ordered certain games, I don't know which ones, but that were not going to be discounted, they're just not listed on the store anymore. So if you had, an upcoming AAA title that you wanted, you're not going to be able to buy it under this sale. But this is a bid.
Or apply your $10 toward it.
Or apply your $10 towards it. But this is a bid to get more people to use the Epic Games launcher.
They also, with that same announcement of the big sale, announced more exclusives, which is one of the reasons people are so angry at them.
Yeah.
But hey, for a sale, it's not like Steam doesn't do this. And Steam used to do it like this. Now they just give you tepid crap sales. Not even worth it.
I don't know. I got the Utopia and Synthetic Dawn DLC for Stellaris for $10. That was pretty good.
They're worth $2.
But Mark, I liked them.
Everybody loves Microsoft Bing, right? We all use that constantly.
I constantly hear around the office, let me Bing that for you.
Which almost sounds sexual. But perhaps something good will finally come out of Bing.
Microsoft has open sourced a crucial algorithm behind its Bing search services. I have not looked at this in detail, but this seems interesting.
It's vector searching, and they got this little layout here that'll show you how you can apply this to Python library, and you can apply it to your own stuff that you want to search. They have an API.
Is there a key for this graph?
SBT, Krista, obviously. And also graph. This is the graph. Actually, it's probably the graph just if I find something in the API like Facebook. Anyway, hey, why not, right?
This is, I guess, Microsoft's version of MapReduce. They've got,
You know who this will be super useful for? Is last week the guy we talked about who does all that manga statistical work.
Oh, yeah.
So he can search through his manga library very easily based on, the dialogue and even it does images, too.
Non-consensual.
It's pixel by pixel image search, yeah.
I still haven't. Microsoft demoed something that was called Sea Dragon 10 years ago now, and I still haven't seen that. It's so cool. Where's it at, Microsoft? Where's it at?
Lenovo, which is one of the big players in the PC game these days, has decided to get into the augmented reality business.
Lenovo has launched Think Reality AR and VR headsets for enterprises.
Here you go, Krista. Rate this for attractiveness.
Compared to some of the others, which got really sweaty when we did the VR, I could see that being more efficient.
Well, this is the AR.
I guess augmented is different, isn't it? Still, again, you don't have that sweat factor, which that's just a big plus to me.
So these are not tethered to a PC. There's a little belt pack thing, which is pretty cool.
That picture of the guy with his hand in his hair, he's modeling.
Yeah, he's I'm so cool. But yeah, here's the, so that's actually the computer that runs it.
Which is a Snapdragon something or other.
The Microsoft version has the computing in the headset. So this one's much lighter, but you got to carry that thing around.
Yeah.
It's like a phone. That's probably fine, right?
Yeah, it's
phone
probably size. More convenient.
It's probably not going to give you cancer.
But here's the thing about this AR headset that supposedly gives it the advantage is they've designed this for other people to develop apps almost exclusively. And they've made it very easy to do that rather than trying to give you, their killer app that they created. So I can see that, being able to play with that and do augmented reality stuff. It also does the obvious eye tracking and overlay, and it's got a camera on each side to pick up the outside world. I don't know. I'm not
sweat free.
I'm sure it's not sweat free.
It's better than like the thing that like suction kept to your face though, like
it
a face hugger.
It was fine.
It was fine.
It was fine.
But it could be improved, and they did.
Yeah. Well, if it's, you know, I'd say most people don't share VR headsets. We were in a unique situation.
Thanks, Ava Direct.
Well, but it's kind of like a, it's like a party game sort of thing though. Like surely you would share it.
Everybody gets their own, Krista.
Oh yeah, for the low price.
Oh, you know, I am so excited about Amazon one-day delivery, and I'm ready. I'm ready for one-day delivery. I am so spoiled by two-day delivery. When they take me to one, I can never go back. You know, you can. It's like opioids. You got to get more and more.
And so you build up a tolerance, and then you want instant delivery.
Yeah, delivery tolerance. And other companies know that, which is why we have this announcement.
Walmart has announced next-day delivery, firing back at Amazon. So this is from CNBC. Walmart is going to offer next-day delivery to more than 200,000 items on its website.
Here's
so
the thing,
they're going to use the Walmart stores for the logistics here, which is just software.
I feel like I go into Walmart generally like because I have to. Do people, I guess some people must order stuff online at Walmart, but.
Well, a lot of people shop at Walmart.
But like, don't you, that seems like more of a physical.
They're already doing the pickup thing where you just go online, order it, and then you just drive to the store and they bring it out.
This is to your house.
Yeah, this is to your house.
But
yeah.
You could also get it at the store. I think picking it up in store in a lot of cases would be more convenient, especially if you don't have a place to get it delivered to. Like you can't get it delivered to your workplace. Because they're just on your way home. I mean, everybody's got access to a Walmart.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's true. That's what I mean, because they're already doing the, you go to the store and pick it up. They're already stocking these items at basically every Walmart. So the last step is just having somebody take that to your house is not a big deal.
Yeah. Although, I don't ever shop on Walmart.com. I mean, that's not.
Yeah, see, I don't know anybody who does.
Oh. I don't associate with Walmart shoppers.
Listen, I go into Walmart every now and then, but it's usually because it's like, oh, I need this thing real quick, and the only place to get it is Walmart.
We talked about Disney and their streaming empire and how they're taking it very seriously. And here is another example of that, and a woman who is apparently wearing a lampshade on her head.
Disney is taking full control of Hulu. I saw this. And I was really excited The Flying Nun was coming back. Like, they were doing a remake of The Flying Nun, but that was not what this was.
No.
This is actually a flightless nun.
No, I can't remember the name of the show, but
Handmaid's
it's like
Tale.
That's it, yeah.
So, yeah, it used to be, Hulu was started as like a triumvirate.
Yeah.
But is it Comcast that's getting out of it?
Well, it's more interesting than that. Comcast is giving leadership control to Disney right now, but the buyout doesn't happen for 5 years.
Yeah, I think Comcast sees the writing on the wall.
Yeah.
Because Disney Plus is going to roll out.
And Warner was the other one.
They're going to choke off all of the other movie streaming platforms. And then they're going to use Hulu and do the same thing with TV.
Do you see the mouse ears with the lit cigarette shadow again? It's just...
Yeah.
I never understood why you would pay for Hulu. I mean, I guess you can get Hulu Plus, but like... You still have to watch ads with Hulu. What's the point? But I bet it'll be worse with Disney. Disney will put even more ads in.
The point is for Disney to make money. Like, you're paying for the privilege. You
to
will
watch their ads.
You will watch and enjoy the ads.
But as TV dies, as we saw last week, 14,000 a week. That's crazy, right? So as TV dies, they're going to pull all the channels that they run. They're going to pull their Fox, their ESPN. They're going to pull sports. And instead of getting that on TV, you're going to get it on Hulu and nowhere else. And they're going to dominate.
Sports would probably be a good thing for streaming. I don't think that exists really much yet.
Here's another engagement challenge. Have any of you security analysts in the audience actually looked at the Android or iOS versions of Netflix and Hulu and some of the other video playback and streaming applications to see if it's using the front-facing camera while you're watching on those devices? Because... if it's not happened yet, it soon will, where Netflix watches to see if you're engaged with the ad and will count that differently from an analytics perspective. Or Disney. I think Disney will do it first.
Yeah, I think Disney will do it first as well. Netflix doesn't usually show a lot of ads.
I'm going to confound that algorithm by showing videos to my cats.
The man's face got very hairy and small when he looks at this ad.
We'll count this as 0.25 engagement.
Remember the Samsung Fold?
Yeah, it's not out yet because it had some problems.
Well, we might talk about that later, but it's interesting because Lenovo looked at that and didn't say, oh, why would anybody want that? They said, oh, yes.
We'll do that too.
We'll make that bigger.
Lenovo unveils the world's first foldable PC coming in 2020. So this doesn't exist yet. This is, quote unquote, a concept. But this is also, Lenovo is doing this to see how much buzz it has. And if no one cares and or people mock the product mercilessly, it's not coming in 2020. And so I'm just going to tell you right now, it's not coming in 2020.
You'd have to have a soft keyboard on that, right?
Yeah.
I don't like that at all.
No.
That's terrible.
Last year at Computex, there were several people that had dual screen laptops. I think that Asus demoed one for sure. And I think Lenovo had one as well, where it was just two screens, one in each half. Lenovo has the Yoga Book, which is e-ink on one side and then a regular LCD on the other. And so you can do drawing or you can turn the e-ink into a touch keyboard. So this kind of already exists, but not the foldable version.
Well, Samsung is apparently getting right back on that horse that bucked them, and they're saying they have solved the issues with the Fold.
Samsung reportedly readying a Galaxy Fold for release after finding a fix. This is basically just they're putting some stuff in the hinge to keep crap out of the hinge.
They literally describe it as making the holes smaller.
I just like to imagine they're just filling it with glue.
Yeah.
Paste.
Well, they can't do that because it has to. But I mean, no matter how small you make those holes, something's going to get in there.
You're going to need some kind of a gel so that the gel prevents the
so that it's good and sticky so the stuff sticks to it. Yeah. It's gross.
Another issue, the removable protective screen, they have now tucked that down under the bezel.
Oh, okay. So that people don't get the idea.
Right. It's still there, just harder to peel off. So they say it's coming, and we'll see.
Oh, it's coming.
It's still $2,000. And after the previous debacle, are you going to risk $2,000 on
no.
that?
As much as I drop my phone, I mean, I'm constantly fumbling my phone, so no.
I want to see one, but I wouldn't pay for it. Like, I want to look at someone else looking at it.
Are you going to get it and just, like, violently fold it in front of them?
Like, oh, yeah, I just want to see what it feels like. And
I just
like
take
how
my phone out of my pocket. It's like, oh, look at that. Just
pick up a handful of sand and just start revving it. Did they fix it? Oh, taxes. Paying taxes is horrible. And insult to injury is having to go to a tax preparer because it's not a good experience.
Ryan had a really bad experience. Let's say that.
Maybe you want to do it yourself, but the reason I didn't do it myself this year is because the do-it-yourself approaches will nickel and dime you during the entire process. They're like, oh, wait, your income has reached a new threshold. Deposit $39.99. Or it's like, oh, you have too many items to enter into this form. Deposit $10.99. And it goes on and on like that. And it turns out they're getting in a little bit of trouble doing things like that.
The Intuit CEO on internal video said that hiding the free TurboTax was in best interest of taxpayers. So ProPublica has gotten a hold of something. Like, the employees at Intuit were like, wait, were we doing something unethical? And the CEO of Intuit was like, no, let me explain why this was fine. And ProPublica then takes that apart piece by piece, and it's glorious.
Now, they did two very suspicious things. Very suspicious things. They ran Google ads on all of the search phrases that you might expect someone would search for to get free tax preparation software. So, like,
which directed them to the paid
free tax preparation. You would see a Google ad for TurboTax Premium, right?
Freedom. It was the Freedom version, which is not free.
Yeah, like free as in speech, not as in beer. And the other thing they did was prevent Google from indexing the landing page for the free version, the real free version. Yeah. His excuse was, we didn't want to take up that first search result spot because we thought people were looking for other tax information. Didn't want to get in front of the IRS.
You know, it's scummy, but that is some impressive SEO optimization. I'm not even mad.
Apparently, it did get a result because, you know, they measurably got returns from it. But I think they get some subsidies, right? Like, they work with the IRS to offer this free program. Now, this only works if you make under a certain amount of money. Was it like $30,000 or something? Maybe less.
Yeah, it was like $30,000 or $35,000.
So this is for people who don't make a lot of money and tax preparation might be an undue burden because they're not paying any extra taxes anyway. They're getting money back. So let them do it for free. TurboTax, not a fan of that.
Yeah, one of the reasons that the IRS has not come out with its own like free file product on their own website is because these tax preparers say that they have a free service. They've just made it very difficult to actually use, which the IRS also is frowning upon, but not actually taking any action.
Hard to be on the side of the IRS, but I think you got to take their side on this one, right? Although I bet their version would be the
Just
most
awful.
horrible user experience that you can imagine.
And it would take like 8 years for them to do. And
Yeah.
Kickstarter. Remember Kickstarter? They said, we want a union.
They got one.
And their CEO said, guys, I don't think no, you don't want a union. You definitely don't want that. And they were like, no, we do want it. We've made one. And he says,
Kickstarter will not voluntarily recognize its employee union, according to The Verge.
voluntarily being the key word.
I know this position is disappointing for some of you who are hoping the company would voice support for this effort, CEO Aziz Hassan has written.
So yeah.
Good job, Kickstarter. Good job.
Until they put the proverbial gun to his head, he's not going to pay attention to the union. We'll see how that develops. That will, I imagine that's kind of like a test. Like, how much can I push this union around? Right? If they don't fight me on this, I'm good. So we'll see. I love stories about Teslas that catch fire. It's no secret. And I don't try to make it a secret. But now, Wendell, you're a man who loves catchphrases. And one of your go-to phrases is putting out fires.
Yeah.
Now, when you say putting out fires, you're not talking about literally extinguishing fire.
Nope.
You're more often than not talking about software. Imagine a world where you could literally put out fires with software. How amazing would that be? Well, it's here. It's now.
Seen in Business has got this story. Tesla is updating its battery software after a car caught fire. Not just one, but two. So, Seen in Business uncovered another car, another Tesla that mysteriously burst into flames. And so, Tesla has said that they are issuing a software update that they think will prevent this scenario. They looked at the telemetry here and said that the batteries were probably defective, but they were going to update the software to better handle it in terms of like the thermal and charge characteristics, so that it was a little more conservative and would hopefully prevent a runaway thermal event.
If you're an owner of one of these cars and you hear the batteries are probably defective, like, do you feel good about that purchase
Yeah,
then?
well,
It's only two cars, I mean.
they have to be really careful about that too, because if it turns out to be just aggressive charging, so they could say they charge quickly,
Yeah.
if there's a risk of fire, they're going to get sued into oblivion.
Yeah.
So.
I like the phrase also, like one of the key catchphrases that you always hear is out of an abundance of caution. So that's code for
Covering our ass. When you're not home, you worry about your house, you know, people breaking in, fires, the cats pooping on the wall, in my case, which they did again Friday
Oh.
night. And it would be nice if you had someone there looking out for you, and Amazon says they got you covered.
Amazon rolls out Alexa Guard to help you protect your home while you're out. Since this speaker is always on and always recording, why not put the botnet to work for you to listen for burglars to break into
See, I was imagining more like a Roomba scenario where that thing's just rolling around with a gun,
your
ready to shoot whoever walks in the door.
So apparently, they went out and bought every kind of commercial window that's available on the market and shattered it and let Alexa record all of those sounds
house.
so that if glass shatters in your home, Alexa will be able to recognize that.
Nice.
I wonder if Alexa could recognize the sound of a hairball coming up.
What if you just drop a glass? Like,
You
what is.
get a, well, apparently she'll know the difference because the glass dropping sounds different than one of her recorded windows breaking.
So what you're saying is if you live in a 1906 farmhouse,
Yeah.
they have no idea what that sounds like, because that's
Yeah.
not commercially available anymore.
Or a golf course. Although you do arm this and disarm it like in a security system. There's a catchphrase just like, Alexa, I'm leaving, or something like that. Yeah, Alexa, I'm leaving. And that arms her to begin patrol.
You can actually reprogram those phrases, which is really cool. I saw a video where somebody had changed all of the Alexa catchphrases to things from Star Trek. So that was, it's like, you
And then
know,
you're like, man, maybe I need an Alexa.
I considered it.
And moving on to security, the big story this week is yet another. I'm tired of talking about
Intel's tired
Intel,
too.
Yeah, I'm sure they are.
I'm gonna be honest. I saw the headline for this article. And I was like, skip. Just yeah. Another one.
It's another. What's the word for anticipating code? Predictive exploit.
Intel CPUs have been impacted by a new zombie load side channel attack. No, this is not a repeat of, I don't know, the last 50 times we've mentioned this. This one's very difficult to mitigate. Intel, which up to this point had been very, like the OpenBSD guys and some of the really big names in security consulting, really well-respected academics that about a year ago were saying basically disable hyper-threading. Intel was like, no, you don't need to disable hyper-threading. That's not that severe. Intel is now saying, look, you're going to have to disable hyper-threading.
The good news here, though, is this one's probably a little harder to actually engineer an attack from. So maybe less likely that they'll do this. But again, when you look at someone with infinite resources like Chinese government or the U.S. government, they could certainly put something like this together.
This negatively impacts applications that have certain memory access patterns, but fortunately for gamers, it doesn't really negatively impact most kinds of gaming.
And Zombie Load is just one of them. There were several attacks. Zombie Load is the most concerning one, so it gets the headline. But there's, just like the other predictive attacks, there's a bunch of them, and they all work slightly differently, different buffers.
This is a family of attacks called microarchitectural data sampling. And the reason that it's called that is because it's not really x86. So like when you have a complex instruction that's going to be executed, it's broken down into micro ops. The microcode manages that. And so now we have broken down the walls, as it were. And we have better insight into how the microcode works. And that's how these mechanisms work. They exploit loopholes and clean up the microcode just doesn't do. It's bad. It's real bad.
Remember that time that we found out that bloatware pre-installed on PCs was actually causing malware? Well, that's happened again.
Hackers abuse Asus's cloud service to install backdoor on users' PC. No, this is not a repeat from January. And no, this is not a repeat from March. This is the third event this year where Asus's software has been co-opted. So I think Asus is going to have to hire some new, like a new chief security officer, maybe like the red team. Maybe they got the blue team for the security. They need the red team.
Well, here's the thing, though. This researcher could not actually determine for sure if this was Asus sending out malware or Man in the Middle, because, of course, they use basic HTTP for this service. He concluded most likely Man in the Middle, which doesn't make you feel any better if you were infected, but would be an easy fix. However, if Asus is somehow infiltrated and is literally sending out malware in its updates, that's more concerning. Either way, bad. Bad time, Asus. Say no to bloatware.
No!
I thought this story was going to be more interesting than it was.
I mean, look at that stock photo.
Yeah. That's like the Red Hat photo. Made suspicious. Or logo. So, yeah, this is actually about, if you want to get a block of IP addresses, you need to be some sort of company, and you have to have certain paperwork and stuff like that. But you can just fake it.
Close to 735,000 fraudulently obtained IP addresses have been uncovered and revoked, Aaron reveals. So, basically, this company, it's like IPv4 address shortage was happening. This company was like, ooh, we could buy a bunch of IPs and then sell them at ridiculously inflated prices. I assume that's what was going on here. They had like two legit customers. So two legit customers got IPs from these people. Aaron did not revoke those, but by and large, most of the 735,000 IPs were unused. And so Aaron has revoked those. So good job, Aaron.
Sounds more and more absurd the more you say the name.
Well, it was
like, it's just one guy.
They were going to revoke the IPs in like December. But the company that acted fraudulently, I mean, if you're going to act fraudulently, I guess be bold. They got a temporary restraining order on Aaron to not do that until it could get before a judge. Well, the judge has basically ruled, I think it was an arbitrator, ruled in Aaron's favor.
Which, that would be crazy if that went any other way. Because they basically proved that it was fraudulent. All of those applications, the companies didn't exist. Not only did they make up the companies, but they made like LinkedIn profiles for the officers and stuff like that.
That was probably someone's job.
Yeah.
That's all they did was make LinkedIn profiles.
Probably, yeah.
They were hoping to make money on the shortage of IPv4 addresses. So the guy that was the ringleader, I think, is facing 30 counts of wire fraud at this point. So
that's funny because they probably don't have a law against the real crime there.
Yeah.
So they get it for wire fraud. If you are made to suffer any kind of commercials, you're going to hear about these companies that claim to protect your identity or protect you against malware or whatever. Basically insurance against this kind of thing. And they will lay out all these things they're going to do. It's like, it's rock solid. They are not going to get in. We are going to stop them. Well, it turns out they don't ever stop them.
The trade secret, the firms that promise high-tech ransomware solutions almost always just pay the hackers. So, yeah. If you've been attacked by ransomware and you have some, you know, tech specialists that come in, they're just going to pay the ransom.
But charge more than the ransom.
It's actually a little bit of a problem because if the people that have attacked you are, like, say, from Iran, the State Department has a problem with you paying the Iranian ransom. That's a no-no.
Not illegal, though.
Just frowned upon.
Even for Iran?
Oh, Iran has the
sanction,
the
yeah.
Sanctions, yeah. Paying ransoms is not illegal, although
frowned upon.
They don't want you to. But if they, but you don't know they're from Iran.
No, don't ask.
So I don't know if that lack of knowledge protects you, but you definitely don't.
I hope it does.
You definitely don't want to find out. Just pay it. Just don't ask any questions, or better yet, have this third party company go and do that on your behalf. So you have that layer of protection.
I think a lot of people just chat up their ransom person.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Hey, well, man, what are you doing right now?
You do kind of have to.
What are you doing this weekend?
You got to do a little bit of due diligence to see if they're for real.
Yeah.
And if they can actually give you what you're paying.
They might have just deleted all your stuff because that's happened a time or two.
So, and also, a lot of those ransomware people, they know it's risky to go into a prolonged conversation with you. So they give you a time limit. And what are you going to do? You got to pay it, right? WhatsApp. WhatsApp is super popular, especially outside of the U.S. It's one of those things that they use to, from everything to, you know, trading things to dating to lynching people in some parts of the world, which is sad. And they have a problem.
WhatsApp discovers a targeted surveillance attack. Because, yeah. Turns out WhatsApp can be co-opted to be turned into a surveillance tool on certain networks in certain countries.
Surprising no one.
Who wants that?
Starts with an F, I think.
Didn't Zuckerberg say something about making that encrypted end to end? And it's like
going to be the most secure thing ever. Yeah, that's supposed to be the Facebook privacy push.
Yeah.
Everything goes encrypted end to end. I don't know when that's going to happen.
Didn't those kids use WhatsApp, the ones that were executed?
Oh, the Saudi Arabia?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Starting not to have a lot of confidence in Mr. Zuckerberg's words.
I don't think they've done it yet. I think that's coming
oh,
soon.
Well, there. That's a perfect.
That's better, yeah. Of course.
We can't go a week without having at least one breach into customer accounts, right? You thought you were going to get away? No, not this week.
Boost Mobile says that hackers broke into customer accounts. So hackers might, in the worst case scenario, Boost Mobile's not actually sure. The hackers might have your mobile number, your billing address, your password, your PIN, and your credit card details.
Gosh. That would pretty much give them everything they needed, including two-factor, to ruin your life.
Now, it might just be that they've got your phone number and your address. We don't know yet. They're still looking into it.
But also, it took them, 2 months to announce this?
Yeah.
Which, what was the ruling about you have to report it? Is it 2 months?
It depends on what state you're in. Some states have a 72-hour. Like, most states are adopting the law where it's like you gotta do a notice within, at least a preliminary notice within 72 hours.
But are they saying they just found this? I think they knew for 2 months.
No, yeah, right? They knew for 2 months. They didn't take action for a while either because they were like...
Well, what if it's fine, though?
Yeah.
They just stood there looking at the screen like, oh...
Oh, that's not good.
It's like, oh, no, these aren't hackers. This is some marketing company that we gave access to this data. It's like, oh, okay. Well, that was a close call.
Does the marketing company in China?
Oops. All right.
That's
enough of that.
Friday will be robots and nonsense, which, you know, that should be fun.
It'll be a fun episode.